This is The Rotunda, your podcast about the people and issues shaping Florida politics. I'm Tramell Gomes.
I think there's blame on both sides, and I have no doubt about it, and you don't have any doubt about it either.
As many distance themselves from President Trump, Florida Governor Rick Scott avoids being critical of his friend.
If you want to ask President Trump what he said, you can ask him.
I'm asking your reaction to it, though.
I'm telling you right now that I don't believe in racism. I don't believe in bigotry. What happened in Charlottesville was evil.
Tallahassee Mayor Andrew Gillum calls for the removal of a Confederate monument at Florida's old Capitol.
If South Carolina can see fit to remove the Confederate flag from in front of its Capitol, why can't the state of Florida, given the rich diversity that we represent?
And should utility customers continue to pay now for speculative nuclear projects?
We have a fundamental concern that ratepayers should not be paying profit on these costs when it is unknown if the facility is even going to be built.
All that and more coming up on episode 119 of The Rotunda. So despite the efforts by many to try and mold President Donald Trump into someone more palatable, more respectable even, when Trump goes off script, there is absolutely no way for him to maintain his brand.
You look at both sides, I think there's blame on both sides, and I have no doubt about it, and you don't have any doubt about it either. And if you reported it accurately, you would say.
Time and time again, whenever Trump is outside of a controlled environment, away from a teleprompter, he reveals his true self.
But you had many people in that group other than neo-Nazis and white nationalists, okay? And the press has treated them absolutely unfairly.
Mr. Trump was quite proud of his initial statement following the tragedy in Charlottesville, including the death of two officers and civilian Heather Heyer. But Trump's statement came with a but.
And it was a horrible thing to watch. But there is another side. There was a group on this side, you can call them the left, you've just called them the left, that came violently attacking the other group. So you can say what you want, but that's the way it is.
Since then, the warning sirens have been going off, and more people are starting to run further away from a very radioactive environment, which is the White House. But not everyone.
I urge all political leaders at the state, local, and federal level, including the president, to focus on unity.
Florida Governor Rick Scott is close friends with Trump. He's another loyal friend that sticks around regardless of the controversy. But while Scott is trying to show some distance to Trump's equalizing statements towards racism and bigotry, he stops short of criticizing his friend.
I've been clear.
You're a supporter of his. What's your reaction to someone whom you've supported saying something like that?
If you want to ask President Trump what he said, you can ask him.
I'm asking your reaction to it, though.
I'm telling you right now that I don't believe in racism. I don't believe in bigotry. What happened in Charlottesville was evil. There's no moral equivalency between the two sides. A young lady was murdered. We all lost two law enforcement officers. Every elected official needs to figure out how to bring our country together.
At the height of President Trump's controversial statements, Governor Scott dined with the president. According to press reports, Scott didn't even bring up the issue of Charlottesville or Confederate monuments.
You had people in that group that were there to protest the taking down of, to them, a very, very important statue and the renaming of a park from Robert E. Lee to another name. George Washington was a slave owner. Was George Washington a slave owner? So will George Washington now lose his status? Are we going to take down statues to George Washington? How about Thomas Jefferson? What do you think of Thomas Jefferson? You like him? Okay, good. Are we going to take down the statue? Because he was a major slave owner. Now, are we going to take down his statue? So you know what? It's fine. You're changing history. You're changing culture.
You know, President Trump does have a point. You can't change history, but you can learn from it. The words of America's founding documents espouse equality, freedom, and self-governance. But they were written by people who owned human beings, and that certain privileges apply only to men like them, white, wealthy, and landowning. But digging further into the history, while it's easy to make the case as to why to keep these statues and monuments as historical artifacts, you have to realize some of the Confederate statues were erected by many Southern whites angry and in fear about the loss of their supremacy. They started popping up around the same time as Civil War memorials. So even here, knowing that, the both sides argument is not equal. Purpose and intent are completely opposite on both sides.
First off, I really hate the conflating of our leaders. President Washington and General Lee don't deserve to be in the same sentence. One a founder of this great country, obviously, although a very difficult history we have, the other who sought to destroy, to tear apart the United States of America. And so the president knows what he's doing. I find it unfortunate, but it's a continued demonstration of his absence of leadership on this issue.
Tallahassee Mayor Andrew Gillum is a Democrat hoping to be Florida's next governor. He's starting another campaign, as he explains here on MSNBC.
I do believe that we ought to take the Confederate monument that sits in front of the old Capitol of the state of Florida down. I believe that we shouldn't whitewash history. It belongs in museums, not as a greeting place as you enter the old Capitol. The state of Florida is too great, too diverse a state. We're the third largest state in the Union. If South Carolina can see fit to remove the Confederate flag from in front of its Capitol, why can't the state of Florida, given the rich diversity that we represent among these 50 states?
Governor Rick Scott was asked about the wave to remove Confederate monuments, including one in Jacksonville.
Issues like the monuments, they need to be discussed, they need to be reviewed. At the local level, they can make a decision. At the state level, we get to make a decision. At the federal level, they get to make a decision. But we need to go through a process where everybody as a group comes together, we have a legitimate conversation, then we go forward.
When asked specifically about the monument at the Capitol, Scott's office referred back to his statement about Jacksonville.
My goal is that hatred, bigotry, racism should not be in our society. But with regard to monuments, those are decisions that should be made through a local process.
So things are radioactive right now around the White House. White House strategist Steve Bannon is out. Yet, there are still a few people in the president's corner, despite so many things falling apart. Which is amazing in itself, that President Trump has been able to withstand and survive, always the last man standing, throughout all the unbelievable controversies we've seen during the election and his administration. This is The Rotunda. I'm Tramell Gomes, bringing you the stories about the people and issues shaping Florida politics. Each week, this program is supported by listeners like you. If you're already a subscriber, that is great news. Thanks for your support. If you're new, welcome. Make yourself at home and visit rotundapodcast.com. Follow us on social media, Twitter, Instagram, at Rotunda Podcast, and even on Facebook. Oh, and check out where you can easily hit the donate button on our website. We welcome your generous contribution, along with your tips and story ideas. So let's keep this theme about going nuclear. When things go nuclear, it's never good. However, there are proponents of nuclear energy that say it's worth the investment. It's better than fossil fuels like coal and oil, which lowers greenhouse gas emissions. But it's getting stiff competition from renewable energy like solar and wind. A federal appeals court hears arguments this week in a case challenging a Florida law that leaves utility customers on the hook for speculative nuclear projects. The controversial nuclear cost recovery law passed in 2006, at a time when nuclear power appeared to be making a comeback. But things have changed. There was Fukushima and the rise of renewable energy. Utility watchdog J.R. Kelly with Florida's Office of Public Counsel is asking regulators to reject the latest multi-billion dollar request by the state's largest utility, Florida Power and Light.
We have a fundamental concern that ratepayers should not be paying profit on these costs when it is unknown if the facility is even going to be built.
I caught up with J.R. Kelly at the Public Service Commission to get a better understanding of this law that asks you, the customer, to help pay for a for-profit company's ability to do just what it's in business to do.
Well, the Florida legislature back in 2006 passed Section 366.93 Florida statutes, and the statute allows this advanced cost recovery, if you will, for nuclear plants as well as what they call IGCC or Integrated Gasification Combined Cycle plants. That's what the statutes allow, and that statute has been upheld by the Florida Supreme Court in two different challenges. So that's how we're here today, is because the statutes allow it.
So what protections do consumers have in this matter when their funds are being taken and then the projects never get built, and what happens next? Is it just move on?
Yes, that's pretty much it. The statute's quite clear that if a project is abandoned for whatever reason, other than imprudence or fraud or misrepresentation, but if a company makes a prudent decision, nope, we're not going to go forward with building a particular nuclear project, they are entitled under the statute to collect all of their expenses that were prudently incurred and are reasonable, and the ratepayers are on the hook for it.
Who's looking out for the ratepayers?
Well, I mean, our office represents the ratepayers, but we have to represent them in accordance with Florida statute. So we have to follow the statute, and the Public Service Commission does as well. So, you know, while I don't always agree with every decision that the Public Service Commission makes on behalf of who I represent, which are all ratepayers, residential, governmental, and commercial, the Florida statutes do allow this recovery. And until such time as the statute is either repealed or amended, then the utilities, under certain conditions, are going to be allowed to come in and ask for this cost recovery.
What are some examples where we're seeing there was plans to build and that didn't happen?
The one plan is with Duke Energy of Florida was the nuclear project, or you'll hear people refer to it as the LNP in Levy County. And that fiasco, unfortunately, cost ratepayers, the Duke Energy Florida ratepayers, about $1.5 billion, because it was a proposed project. The commission granted determination of need. The commission also granted, over our objection, to allow Duke Energy at the time to enter into what they call an EPC, Engineering Procurement and Construction Contract. And so because of that, Duke Energy incurred some tremendous costs in addition to attempting to get there, and they did obtain their COL, their combined operating license, and they purchased land and so forth. And so we worked out a settlement where the ratepayers were responsible for about just under $1.5 billion. But for that settlement, they could have been on the hook for as much as $3 billion.
Wow.
Thanks to J.R. Kelly with the Florida Office of Public Counsel. The plaintiffs in the class action suit contend the nuclear cost recovery law is unconstitutional and seek to recoup $2 billion they say utility customers have already paid. The utilities say they aren't the right parties to be sued, that it's a state law, so the state of Florida should be on the hot seat. But the plaintiffs say it's the utilities collecting money from consumers.
Policy is made by politicians. Ask your representative, ask your senator where they stand on this issue, and get out and vote in 2018.
Attorney George Kavros with the Southern Alliance for Clean Energy says ratepayers should be outraged over Florida's nuclear cost recovery law.
All the risk, all the costs effectively fall on their customers. So these utilities are encouraged to keep pursuing projects even when they don't make sense, because they can recover and they're guaranteed recovery, essentially. The law contemplates that the PSC will be the backstop to unreasonable requests. They're the firewall between the utilities recovering costs that, you know, they simply shouldn't be recovering. So the law places a big responsibility on the Public Service Commission to act as to protect the customers' pocketbooks from utilities that might be a little bit over-enthusiastic on building and collecting costs for nuclear projects.
I've been covering the PSC. How would you grade their job in looking out for ratepayers and consumers?
Well, let me say that it's hard to separate the politics from the policy. In Florida, if you look at the decisions over the last few years, there have certainly been a lot of favorable decisions to utility requests at the PSC. In this particular docket, there have been over 400 comments filed by FPL customers arguing against allowing FPL to recover any more costs for this project, against customers paying even one more cent for this project. So I'm hoping that they will take those customer comments into consideration when they render a decision here.
Well, George, thank you so much for taking this time to speak with me.
Hey, Tramiel, thanks so much.
That's it for this edition of The Rotunda. Special thanks to J.R. Kelly with the Florida Office of Public Counsel and George Kavros with the Southern Alliance for Clean Energy. Remember to follow us at Rotunda Podcast on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Also, check us out at rotundapodcast.com, where you can contribute to this program and suggest topics and story ideas. And always, be sure to join us next week for more stories about the people and issues shaping Florida politics. I'm Tramiel Gomes.